Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
All right, so welcome to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight, a production of Illinois Family Action. I am David Smith, Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. Today, sitting in for Monty Larrick is the ever-capable Kathy Valente.
Hello.
She is the Director of Operations at Illinois Family Institute and my right hand. If she's not around, it's not getting done. So anyway, I appreciate her so much. Monty is covering another event today, so he's not with us. But today we have two very special guests. We have Lisa Reitinger from the western suburbs of Chicago and Flo Hubbs from Peoria, central Illinois, all the way up to the Chicagoland area. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, Lisa, you are a previous Voice of Truth winner or recognized, what do you call it, Kath? Help me out with the right term.
Voice of Truth recipient.
Recipient. It's an annual award IFI gives to people who we recognize as being a great godly example of activism. And Lisa, you have been active in the school issues for some time, and we were just talking about how it goes all the way back from Day of Silence to comprehensive sex education. But the flavor of the day happens to be transgenderism and or gender dysphoria, gender confusion in our public schools. Well, what has compelled you to get involved in the school issues? Specifically this
with
issue,
the transgender issue. I think you folks have educated me a lot with your articles and the emails that you send out. So that kind of primed the pump, which is one reason why Cedra Crenshaw and I co-founded a grassroots group, Protect Children, Preserve Freedom, because we saw this happening throughout the state, throughout the country.
Cedra is also a Voice of Truth awardee.
Yes, she is. So in 2015, in our school district, District 87, which is the high school district, third largest in the state,
okay,
had very quietly passed a transgender non-discrimination policy. And again, you know, we're all against bullying. This has nothing to do with bullying.
That's right.
But this would allow a gender dysphoric student into restrooms, showers, lockers, and in fact, and parents were not notified about this at all. There was no community discussion. And on top of that, you could have a daughter who was going on a school-sponsored overnight trip who actually had to spend the night, share a bed with a biological boy.
Outrageous.
And again, we would never know.
Now, when you talk about gender dysphoric, just so our listeners understand, this is somebody who is biologically one sex, but is feeling as though they are something else. And
yes.
So the school district is trying to accommodate those feelings instead of the biological reality, right?
Yes. And
okay.
And the thing to remember is that, you know, many of us have offered to the school administrators, superintendents, and the boards a really win-win sort of situation where you can protect the privacy rights of the majority, and you can also protect the feelings
Absolutely.
Of gender dysphoric students by having them use single stall restrooms.
Let's come back to that.
I
want to introduce Flo. Flo is from Peoria area, and you come at this at a bit of a different angle.
Yes, I do.
Tell us about that.
I was invited into one of these school board meetings because I'm a sexual abuse survivor.
Mm.
And I wanted to introduce to the school board the trauma that young girls can experience by seeing a young male who feels as though he's a female but still has full male genitalia undressing in front of them. And I'm sure that my sexual abuse occurred before I was in high school. So I'm sure, statistically, there are still young girls being sexually abused and violated.
I've heard that the number is 1 in 4, 1 in 5
yeah, it's
of
horrible.
Young ladies have been sexually abused.
It's horrible.
So we're talking about a lot of people, and I can't imagine the anxiety they must feel in a locker room with a male in that same space. They're supposed to be having privacy and modesty in a safe space, right?
Correct. I've read articles where some girls will just wear their swimsuits to school so that if they have gym and there is a young person in their class that wants to transgender, they don't have to disclose their body parts.
Sure.
They can be just in their swimsuit, change.
But then they're in a wet suit all day long, right?
Right?
Which is not...
kind of uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Right.
And I had made it my kind of a mental note when I was in junior college. If I could do anything to protect anybody else from sexual abuse, I would stand up and do something.
Thank you.
And speaking into this loudness of the confusion of transgenderism is one way to stand up against this.
That's so important. So going back to Lisa, Lisa, you have 5 points that you want to make about the whole transgender agenda. Wait a minute, to say that, did I say that right? Transgender agenda. Say that 5 times fast, right? And what it's doing, and in your observations, share that with us, and we'll maybe take point by point.
Sure. Yes, the first is that this whole movement makes it easier for predators to gain access to victims. We're not talking about transgenders abusing other people. I just want to make that clear. So second of all, it further traumatizes sex abuse victims, as Flo has testified to. And I have many stories from sex abuse survivors.
Yep.
Out of their mind over this sort of movement because of precisely what Flo had said.
And so would you say that the number or the percentage of sexual abuse victims are greater than the number of gender dysphoric people in our society?
Yes, absolutely.
So what are we doing? We're protecting a political class of people instead of a victim class of people.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I interrupted you. Go ahead, Lisa, with the other points. I think it's very important that people hear this.
The third point is that this can harm actually those who are gender dysphoric, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. Flush that out.
Fourth, individuals would be able to hide past criminal behaviors by changing their gender, changing their birth certificates, and it would remove legal protections for citizens. And then finally, last but not least, it's another attempt to erase God and His Word out of the public square.
That's right.
It forces people to lie, and it punishes those who believe in actual objective reality, which is that biological sex is immutable.
Absolutely true.
Very important points. All right, what was your first point again? Let's revisit that real quick.
Sure. It makes it easier for predators to gain access to victims.
Well, we've already discussed this about what's happening in our schools. You've discussed it that we're getting people into the locker rooms, we're getting bathrooms, and we're also getting, yes, overnight hotel rooms when kids go to a field trip that may be out of town. And that should be alarming for every single parent. But it also, let's bring in the issue of Target, Disney, and even Planet Fitness here, because while school districts are promoting this, and of course Barack Obama, when he was president, had a policy that said, hey, you're not going to get any school funds if you don't obey our warped ideology on this. Thankfully, I think Trump has pulled that back and is not forcing school districts, but school districts being oftentimes administered by liberals, many of them are keeping that, even though some school board members are fighting it. But we don't have enough conservatives on school boards to make progress. But the policy is being implemented by private organizations, including, like we said, Target, Disney, and Planet Fitness. There was a recent story in the Daily Herald about a pervert, a peeping Tom, a voyeur. There's other words I probably can use that I shouldn't use because this is a Christian podcast, who was in a Target changing room videotaping a young lady who was getting dressed. He was caught on camera, and the police are looking for him. That's very disturbing, isn't it?
Yes.
He has access to that because of Target's foolish policy, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Correct.
An American Family Association has called for a boycott of Target because of this, and over a million people have signed, I think it's 1.4 million, mm-hmm. who have signed this petition saying, we're going to boycott Target. As a result, Target's stock has mm-hmm. plummeted, and their revenue has plummeted. As a result, because people are actually boycotting Target. I'm not going there.
I'm not either.
You're not going there? Are you going there?
No.
Okay, none of us are going there.
Yeah, but Target is digging in their heels.
Well, you know what? That's fine. Yeah. We're going to dig in our heels, that's and we're going to spend our... We can vote with our wallets,
right? That's right.
And that's what we need to do. Target's policy allows these men into these spaces that should be safe for our young women and our mothers and our daughters and our sisters. And it doesn't. Now, Flo, we were talking earlier about the situation in Disney. Can you give us a recap of what happened at Disney, which, by the way, Lori Higgins did write about?
There's a woman, she wrote an article, The Get Real Mom, and her name was Kristen Quintrell Levon. And she's lived in California her whole life, been around the LGBT community, doesn't have an issue with them. And her and a friend were at Disneyland, and she had to go to the restroom, so her friend watched her children outside. She went into the women's restroom, and there was about 20 other women in there, or several other women. One was changing her young infant child on the
changing table. Yep.
And in walked a man, fully attired man, not a cross-dresser, but a man wearing his athletic attire. And he just looked around and also walked through the whole bathroom, looking in between the little gap in the stalls, and then walked out, and nobody really said a word. There perhaps was an older woman who said, what's he doing in here? And Mrs. Levan says, you know, why the general feeling about this room, as if to say if he identifies as a woman, and then I come off as an intolerant asshole in the happiest place on earth. So we all stood there, shifting on our uncomfortableness, trading looks. So there lingered this unspoken doubt every one of us had a chance that this wasn't a man, she continued, but let me be clear, this was totally a man. If this wasn't a man, this was a woman who had fully transitioned via surgery and hormones into a man and had also gotten an Adam's apple implant with chest hair and size 9-10 shoes at that point. She says, what on earth are you doing in the woman's restroom? And the man wasn't doing anything one does in the bathroom, not urinating. He was just standing, looking smug, untouchable, doing absolutely nothing. And she said, I felt bad because we have been silenced by some of these social processes.
Absolutely. We've been bullied into silence. Now, he was going and looking in the cracks of every door, right?
Correct.
All right. Let's pick it up on the other side of the break. We got to stop here for a moment, take a break, and we'll come back and pick it up with our guests, Lisa Reitinger, Flo Hubbs, and my left hand today, but right hand usually, Kathy Valente. All right. We'll be right back.
Join the Illinois Family Institute for a special forum, Climate Change and the Christian, with Dr. Calvin Beissner in Rockford, Arlington Heights, Orland Park, and Peoria.
The green movement threatens to trap the poor in poverty and rob people of property rights by touting false or exaggerated claims of eco-disaster.
Dr. Calvin Beissner is the founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. You don't want to miss his presentation on climate change and the Christian. What's true? What's not settled science? And what's our responsibility?
Now, it's true that if you love God, you will try to take good care of the earth. And I encourage you to do exactly that. But that's not gospel. That's law.
The Illinois Family Institute Climate Change and the Christian Forum is free, so bring your family and friends. Visit IllinoisFamily.org for times, dates, and locations, or call 708-781-9328.
Hi, I'm Ashley. My husband and I really wanted to adopt, but we were intimidated by all of the adoption regulations and paperwork. We needed an attorney who not only understood the law, but also cared for our family. That's what we found with the attorneys at Malkin Baker. The team at Malkin Baker not only carefully guided us through the adoption process, but they also regularly took the time to pray for our growing family. It's so clear that their dedication to the gospel drives what they do. We couldn't imagine doing an adoption with anyone else.
Hi, I'm Noel Stert, an attorney with Maukin Baker. If you're looking to adopt, call us at 312-726-1243. That's 312-726-1243. And let's talk.
Okay, welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight. Today we're talking about the transgender agenda and how not only is it affecting our public schools, but private corporations who are implementing this insane policy, which is making women and very uncomfortable, not only uncomfortable, but susceptible, right, wouldn't you say, to abuse and voyeurism and exploitation, right? Let's just put it that way. We were talking about Disney and how Disney's policy of allowing men into the women's restroom, despite whether or not they've had any kind of sex change hormones or surgeries, has empowered this guy to just come on in and take a gander and look around as though he belongs there. What did this progressive woman have to say about this?
This progressive mom, Mrs. Levin, said that we hesitated, and then she later wrote a blog that said, gender just can't be a feeling. And she goes on to say, we can't leave this situation ambiguous anymore. The gender debate needs to be addressed and quickly. There have to be guidelines. It can't just be a feeling. I'm sorry. I wish it could, but it can't. There's a man in the bathroom, not transgender. There was a man who felt entitled to be in the women's restroom because he knew no one would say anything. There were 20 to 25 people by the time I left who were scared and uncomfortable by his huge presence.
Yeah.
And the only thing stopping us was our fear of political correctness and that the media has told us we don't know what gender is anymore. I never want to be in that position again, and I'm not asking for permission to tell transgender people to get out of my bathroom. I need to know it's okay to tell a man who looks like a man to get out of my bathroom.
It is okay. I will tell her. I will give her permission to say it's okay. Here are two things that come to mind when you read that. Number one, the political correctness has bullied people into silence. Mm-hmm. You know what Scripture calls that? Fear of man.
Fear of man.
Fear of man. They are afraid of what man thinks instead of what God thinks. God doesn't want that situation, you know? So it's fear of man. Secondly, it's so interesting that a liberal woman is saying, we got to do something about this transgender thing because it affected her. It pinched her. And listen, folks, we don't have to wait until it's your child, it's your grandchild in a situation like this. We need to speak up now. Boycott Target. Boycott Disney. Speak out to your school board members, right? We need to do all these things and demand. Now, we're going to talk about House Bill 1785 in a minute because this bill plays into this whole debate. But before we do, I want to talk about Planet Fitness. A few years ago, they also implemented this crazy policy. And there was a woman in the Planet Fitness changing room, changing into whatever, changing to workout, changing from workout, I have no idea. But she was in the same room as a transgender man. He was fully equipped, had everything a man does, and he was there changing. So she went up to the front desk to complain. And she was told she was the intolerant one and told to get out and not come back. Well, here's the story. Lori Higgins wrote on this one as well. She investigated who this guy was, the transgender in the bathroom. Well, on his Facebook page, he admitted, well, he's attracted to women because he's a lesbian. I mean, this is alarming. So you have a fully equipped man who's attracted to women pretending to be a lesbian to get access to the ladies' locker room. If that isn't insane and alarming, what is?
Cedric Crenshaw, who's my co-leader, wrote a little some information here that we wanted to share. First of all, going back to Disney, Cedra has a really good point in the sense as women, we have been trained from a very young age to be aware of our surroundings,
yes,
and if something looks dangerous. So the fact that all these women in Disney in the bathroom, they've all been trained from very young age too. So all those years of training they were willing to put aside. But even more alarming is, as moms, there is no greater force of protection than a mom for her child.
Amen.
And the fact that these moms, I'm sure they were very loving moms, were willing to also put that aside.
Very alarming.
It's heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking to me.
And then you add on to that, Lisa, which is compelling and emotional, the fact that there are some sexual abuse survivors,
yes,
among,
yes,
them.
Yes.
And they are freaking out in their minds. They are experiencing, yes, anxiety. And I don't want to dismiss this as, some even have post-traumatic,
yes,
stress disorder, right?
Yes, that's,
I mean,
correct.
This is very real. Mm-hmm. What are we doing for the sake of what? Less than 1/10 of a percent of the population?
And
opening the door and empowering other sexual perverts?
Yeah,
it's
well,
alarming.
Well, and the other thing too is that, and I know Flo can talk about this,
yes,
as well, but sex abuse survivors have one of the highest risks of suicide.
Mm.
So, here we are with a population that is very fragile and wounded and damaged by things that were beyond their control. And they have a huge suicide risk.
And what message are we sending to those young people? You're not worthy of protection or privacy, mm, or,
yes,
modesty.
Yes,
right?
I believe that.
That's a terrible message.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's turn our attention right now to House Bill 1785. 1785 is a bill Representative Greg Harris from Chicago has introduced. He's a Democrat. He's also an openly gay man, an openly gay activist, who is pushing a bill that would allow transgender people, or those who think they're transgender, to change their birth certificate. Their birth certificate, which is a historical document. That's a huge problem for IFI. It is fraudulent. It is also enables some of these men to go into bathrooms, and if they are confronted, and say, look, my birth certificate says thus. I'm perfectly fine to be here. One of the problems with this bill is you don't have to have the surgery. You don't have to be taking the hormones. You only have to be under consultation for transgenderism, to change sexes. So this is a big problem. Thankfully, Flo, you just went down to Springfield recently. Lisa, you've done it in the past to try to lobby our lawmakers on this very issue and ask them to please vote no to this transgender birth certificate issue. So I want to know about your experience, first of all. We'll start with you, Flo.
Okay.
What did you think of the experience, and what did you tell the lawmakers?
Well, fortunately, we were escorted. Myself and Cedra Crenshaw was escorted with a lobbyist.
Ralph Rivera?
Yes, Ralph Rivera. And he had set up some appointments, so we were able to talk to 6 of the representatives, the lawmakers. And that was it was very encouraging to be able to talk with lawmakers.
Absolutely.
And I had shared my situation of being a sexual abuse survivor. Some of the lawmakers themselves are survivors.
Mm.
And perhaps a little alarm went off in some of the women's heads because I asked them about protecting children and young children as I made a pledge to myself to do this. I also brought up the fact
that... So you got a little empathy.
Maybe for a second. it's really hard to tell because I'm sure they're very good at...
Yes, I wouldn't want to play poker with any of them.
No,
they have
no.
They don't let you know where they...
But sure. A couple of the women did comment about how they, too, were sexual abuse survivors.
No kidding.
And so hopefully and prayerfully they will...
consider what you had to say.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. And I brought up the fact that it brings up trauma to have a male in your bathroom with,
sure,
you. And that going on into the aspect of falsifying a government document as a birth certificate is wrongful. You know, it's a government record, and it goes against the standard that God created each one of us. You know, although we live in a fallen world, we face regret.
Yeah.
And allowing a person to just falsify a document doesn't resolve the situation. They
That's
still
right.
have a lot of unresolved problems. And even though they can change their document, they cannot change their DNA.
That's right. That's right. Excellent. Lisa, you've had the same experience. You went down to Springfield to talk some sense into some of these guys. There's Grant Worley, who's a state representative Republican from Naperville, who is undecided on this bill. And so he's one of those targets that we want to talk to with Flo and with your testimony. So what was your experience like?
Well, currently, though, with House Bill 1785, there's three Republicans that we're trying to
Grant
talk.
Grant Worley is one of them.
Grant is one of them. Dave Olson is one.
From Downers Grove.
And Sarah Jimenez.
Jimenez from the Springfield area.
From Springfield
yeah.
area, right.
Good.
Last year when we went, you know, it was interesting because we were able to talk to just a couple of lawmakers, but we were able to talk to their admins. And most of the administrative assistants or their right-hand people there are women. And they got it right away. And some of them confided that they were really against this sort of bill.
I can imagine.
But they didn't think that their lawmaker was going to vote against it.
They didn't think that. All right. So as of right now, House Bill 1785 is short the 60 votes it needs to pass in the Illinois House.
Yes.
We have to stop it, right, Kathy?
Absolutely.
We have to stop it in the House. Why?
Because it's sure to go through in the Senate.
The Senate is liberal.
Right.
And
more
we
liberal.
Have, do we have
They're
any?
Both liberal.
They're both liberal, yes. Right. But we have a better chance of stopping it in the House. And do we have any confidence in the governor?
Personally, I would say no.
The governor hasn't been our friend on social issues,
right.
And so we're very concerned. We need to stop it here. What do our listeners do, Kathy?
Oh, they need to call their state representative, and they can do that if they don't know who they are by going to our website, illinoisfamily.org, and clicking on Officials Finder. It's the last person on the list. That's going to be their state rep, and they can click on that name and get their contact information both at their district office and in Springfield.
So yeah, when you go to our website, you can scroll down. It's on the right side, little bar that says Official Finders. You click on that, enter in your zip code, then it's probably going to ask you to enter in your whole address because the way the districts are drawn,
right.
They for some reason, they don't usually incorporate a whole zip code. It's split down the middle or something. So you put in your whole address, and it'll tell you all your elected officials, starting from the president all the way down,
yep.
And state rep is the last one on that list.
Right.
And you click on it, you can call their district office and their Springfield office, and I use the word and there, because I would like you to call both, right?
Why not?
Right? I mean, you can call the general number. If you know your state rep's office or who that person is, you can call the switchboard at 217-782-2000, which is the switchboard, and just say, I'd like to speak to Representative so-and-so, and they'll transfer you right there. So tell our listeners why it's important, Lisa, that they take action on this.
Well, I think a really important issue here, which I alluded to previously, is that this sort of bill can really harm those who are gender dysphoric. And I don't think that narrative is given any sort of respectability or credibility, but it's a true narrative. For those of you who are interested, just real quickly here,
yeah.
Walt Heyer is an ex-transgender. He has a huge following. His website is Sex Change Regret. And not a day or week doesn't go by where he doesn't get emails from transgenders who totally regret what they've done. So, you know, when you look about, if you bring this back to the school issue, up to 98% of gender dysphoric children upon adulthood will accept their biological sex.
Sure.
So, due to this acceptance and the controversial, severe, and dangerous consequences of administering opposite sex hormones to children, Dr. Zucker, who is a liberal, world-renowned gender specialist, strongly recommends that children be able to embrace their biological sex. Dr. Zucker is not a fringe doctor or therapist. He's so well respected that he was asked by the American Psychiatric Association to be the chairman of their DSM-5 Sexual and Gender Identity Disorders Work Group.
Wow. Well, you know, there's another whole aspect to this, and we've got to wrap up our podcast here. But the chemicals that are being used and interjected, the hormones, yes, the blockers that are being used for these transgenders, we don't know what that's going to do to them,
right,
5, 10,
right,
20 years from
cancer
now.
Cancer risk can tremendously go up. Sterility.
The consequences could be devastating.
They could be devastating.
Kathy.
You know, there's a reason that the Johns Hopkins Medical Center,
yes,
that used to be a leader, they were the leader in doing sex change, transition hormone therapy, and surgeries, and they no longer do it. And they found that it didn't change the depression, it didn't lessen the depression, the
right,
suicidal rates, the drug abuse of
right,
the patients. It actually increased it, and they recognized that it's a problem mentally. It's a mental problem, and it needs to be treated as such.
And so we need to pray for these folks.
That's right.
And
yes,
you had mentioned nobody wants to bully anyone.
Right.
They're genuinely confused.
Right.
And suffering.
Right.
And so we need to pray that the Lord opens their eyes,
yes,
and heals them.
Yes.
Right.
And then we need to also call to stop this legislation. The legislation is not going to help them in any way, shape, or form,
right,
other than affirm a lie. And we don't want our laws affirming lies. So with that, go ahead, Kathy.
Dave, I was going to say, if people don't pick up the phone and make the call, these lawmakers are not going to hear from their constituents. You pay their salary.
Yes, right.
They work for you. They need to hear from you. If they don't hear from you, they're going to do what they want to do.
That's right. And even the good guys need to hear from us,
yes,
because they complain to our lobbyists frequently. Look, I'm not getting calls from our side. I need to know.
They need the encouragement.
Right. We can't just sit back and say, oh, so-and-so is good. He'll vote right. No, don't take it for granted. Shore him up.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about encouragement, I just wanted to, if we could end with this. So I'm going to ask our listeners, do you remember this? Quote, the law has been settled. It's time to move on. You are out of date, out of touch with the younger generation. You have lost. Your kids and grandkids are against you and your antiquated beliefs. When your generation dies off, there will be no more opposition. Politicians have evolved on this issue, and you are on the wrong side of history. Remember when that was said?
Who said
guys?
That?
It was said in general about pro-lifers.
No kidding.
If the original pro-lifers had bought into these lies and became discouraged by defeat after defeat, where would we be now?
That's right.
Teens and young adults are overwhelmingly pro-life, so we can't give up.
You know what? And I believe deep in each one of our hearts, because we were created by God, we are images of God, and there is a desire for truth.
Yes.
Truth.
Right.
And that's what we're called as Christians, to testify to truth. And that's what
right,
IFI is trying to do, what Illinois Family Action is trying to do. The truth, I'm going to close with this verse. We like to try to close with the Bible verse, is this. Matthew 19, verse 4, Jesus is answering the Pharisees, who was questioning him about divorce, and he gave them this shot. Haven't you read from the scriptures? Of course they had. They're Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave them a little shot. He said, haven't you read? He who created them from the beginning and made them male and female. That's it.
Amen.
That's right. That's all the truth we need. And at the heart of this, I think, is a lot of discontent with who God made me. I want to rebel against him. And therefore, mm-hmm, I'm taking it into my own hands. And that's not the right way to do it. So anyway, with that, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And again, call a switchboard at 217-782-2000 and keep your eyes on the prize.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.